Welcome to Reading the Grid with Erin and Ina. Each week, we explore the stories behind books, movies, and shows that highlight the history of this dynamic sport. Buckle up for a fast-paced journey through Formula One. The 2025 United States Grand Prix at COTA delivered pure Texas spectacle. Big hats, bigger crashes, and one man in full control. Max Verstappen lassoed both poles and rode them to victory in the sprint and the main race, tightening the title fight. Turn one of the sprint brought full-on chaos as McLaren's Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri collided, taking each other and Fernando Alonso out in a blink, leaving five DNFs and plenty of dust in their wake. Off track, Tape Gate kept the drama alive. A member of Red Bull Racing re-entered the grid zone after the formation lap had begun in an apparent attempt to remove a piece of tape that McLaren had affixed to the pit wall to help Norris line up his car. The stewards fined Red Bull €50,000, half suspended for the safety breach. Even though the tape itself wasn't explicitly banned, McLaren's weekend went from barbecue to burnt brisket, while Verstappen's dominance turned up the heat in the standings. Piastri still leads, Norris trails by just 14 points, and Max is way too close with only 40 points behind and 5 rounds to go. Texas might be known for its spice, but this championship fight's even hotter.
A lot of the drivers were given black and white flags for exceeding track limits 3 times, meaning that the next time would result in a penalty. But neither Ferrari drivers were one of them. Ferrari found their second wind after a rough first practice and a run of disappointing show and a run of disappointing showings. The team opted for mechanical tweaks, and suddenly the SF25 started behaving like it wasn't stuck in a cactus patch anymore, vaulting them onto the podium in Texas. On the flip side, Mercedes are still the team that said, "We're back," after their surprise win in Singapore, yet their performance in Austin raised more questions than answers. The promise is there, but the payout remains uncertain.
Whether you are sipping iced tea or eating brisket in the grandstand, the key takeaway from Austin is this. Verstappen came, he saw, he claimed both poles and wins, like he lassoed the championship by the horns. McLaren stumbled when they could least afford to. Ferrari quietly refired their guns, and Mercedes are still holding cards that maybe still need to be played. The title chase just got spicier than Texan barbecue sauce. Ina, who won your heart in Texas?
Well, this may shock you, but Ferrari is the.
The whole time I was watching, I kept thinking of my predictions and how you kept saying how your hopium had long since gone. I was pretty excited to see the revival this week.
It was a complete turnaround. Definitely watching Friday's practice and the sprint qualifying session kept. Just watching those. Sorry, can I just repeat? Okay. If you were asked to ask me that question on Friday, who won my heart, the last team I would ever mention would be Ferrari. However, you were correct. My hopium was revived and is now back with a vengeance. And it's all credit to them. Session by session, they kept exceeding expectations and performed much better than I expected. Their strategy was on point. They split the strategy with the tires in the race by putting Leclerc on soft, and it paid off.
Well, and
So,
those softs seem to go a lot. The soft tires seem to perform much better than everyone anticipated, too.
exactly, especially since I'm pretty sure most of them were unused softs, including Leclerc. So, but before we get to Leclerc, Lewis did not disappoint. Despite relatively low qualifying position in the sprint, although still ahead of Leclerc, and he finished P4 in both the sprint and the race. So consistency. I know you're disappointed that he couldn't get to the podium, but I think he showed great racecraft, and he seems to be in a much better headspace.
He seemed to be much more comfortable in the car, more one with the car, as they say. And he did break a record. He's the first driver to ever clear 5,000 points after this race.
Which is insane accomplishment that I actually doubt will be matched anytime soon.
No, this drive seemed more of Lewis's past, which was great to see.
Yes, the only worrying thing for him was the loss of speed on the last lap, which Sky Sports, for some reason, attributed to puncture, which I think is non-existent. But I
I don't
think
know. I didn't hear about a puncture.
that's because you weren't watching Sky Sports.
No, I was on
Yes,
F1 TV.
they specifically said, oh, he must have. Actually, they didn't say he must have had a puncture. She's like, they presented it as a fact. He got a puncture, but he didn't. However, something happened on the last lap that also left him confused. And I'm just hoping that does not mean we're going to go back to lift and coast error.
No. Let's hope not. Although they did make a comment about how at one point in the race they were lifting and coasting on F1 TV too, the commentary.
Well, I think everyone at some point were lifting and
Probably
coasting.
has
Like, there,
to.
yes, like Lando definitely lifted and coast. I'm sure
Well, I know they
Piastri
were
did it.
worried about plank wear on this one.
Well, FIA has admitted that they're looking at Ferrari more closely than other teams, so they had a right to. And this
Fair.
hilariously is that so when the results came in, I still did not believe it until I think it was Ferrari that posted, all the scrutineering is over. We are officially P3, P4. I'm like, okay,
Excellent.
I'll accept that.
Well, I got
But
P3 and 4 correct, just, reverse. But either way, I'm
no,
still happy there were 3 and 4.
the whole PM was alive. So Leclerc was the standout performer on his birthday weekend that saw him win Driver of the Day. And it was most deserved. Let me just remind you, he was 20th in FP1. So he went for 20th FP1 all the way to P3 in the race. I think that's an arc. And we all know I love the arc. And just to clarify, the reason he was 20th in FP1 was because he had a gearbox issue, so he couldn't complete the practice. But just the graphic of him being last has always been very traumatic for me. So then, not to make his Friday all that great, he barely made it to SQ3. In fact, he was in danger in every segment of the sprint qualifying, and he was very much 10th out of 10 drivers, including his teammate. And just so to put it in perspective, sprint qualifying was the session where Nico Hülkenberg was the highest qualifying car with a Ferrari engine in P4 in a Sauber. So in the sprint, we kept moving up. So he went from P10 to P4. Granted, some of it was due to a few drivers going out of the race. Doesn't matter. He, of course, came down to P5 because of a great Lewis Hamilton overtake. We have to give the due that overtake was the most memorable part, I think, of the sprint in terms of overtakes. That sprint was insanely entertaining in so many ways. And I just loved the way he went through the cars after the collision that cost Piastri, Norris, and Alonso opportunity to continue. It was daring. It demonstrated incredible car control, but also complete abandon by taking risks that could have gone horribly wrong, but it didn't. So he's the hero of the moment. None for nothing, but is kept being compared to Lightning McQueen. I don't know if you saw that they keep putting that clip. I don't know if it was Cars 2 or
Oh, it's
3.
the first Cars. I
It's the
have.
first Cars. Yes, as
Yes.
Lightning McQueen goes through.
He navigates through the crash and makes it through.
Exactly.
Yes.
So he basically recreated that in real life. And if you think that's not insanely difficult, I don't know what's wrong with you because that was amazing. Then he continued on this path of getting better results by producing an amazing feat of qualifying on the second row. And this is after he spun out of his first flying lap in Q3. And so the P3 that he ultimately achieved was on his one and only lap in Q3 that counted. Amazing. And finally, in the race, he again made moves in the first corner to get into P2. And for 21 laps, Aaron, the hopium reached its zenith. I
Thought he
honestly
was gonna get
thought,
P2.
well, I thought, hey, maybe after the stops, he could even have a go at P1. But of course, the hopium had to come down a little
Well,
bit.
I did have it at one point. I'm like, ooh, we could have a P2 and P3. This could really go well for Ferrari
I
today.
mean, there could have been so many great things, but I also want to say that during that 21 laps when there was hope that he would stick with P2, he also reported Norris for black and white flag infringement because he's saying, oh, he was over the line, he was over the line. So yes, he was trying and valiantly defending his position. He was also watching to make sure
Those
that
rearview
everyone knew.
mirrors.
Exactly. So I have to say again, Ferrari did a great undercut that put him again ahead of Norris, and their battle continues. And again, he put up brilliant defense. And just so everyone is aware, he and Lando went lap after lap after lap of very close racing and never touched, which I think exemplifies Leclerc, who is always considered to be a very clean driver. And I think just makes the entire action a lot more exciting. And I just want to say that if not for his heroics in the race, I don't think this race would have been that great. He really made it entertaining. So for all of those reasons, and throwing in Ferrari for not doing anything to put a damper on the weekend, I think for the first time ever, Ferrari is the team that won my heart. Aaron, what about you?
Well, I can't help but chuckle because I know also part of this comes from the fact that you also lead the Charles Leclerc fan club.
Well, he deserved it. Like, if you're not a his fan by this weekend, I don't know what's wrong
I
with
don't know what's
you.
wrong with you. Well, not to jump too far onto the Ferrari train, but Lewis Hamilton, mostly because it was so good to see him have such confidence in the car, have such a strong race, and really show what you know he's been working towards and capable of. And to actually see him do that, even though I hate that he actually now holds the worst title for being the 19 races driving for Ferrari and not having a podium.
Well, when we get further, especially in our words of wisdom, I have a theory that includes why. I mean, we know why it happened. The car is horrible, and but also because it has not been developed
Yeah, it's
in
the yes.
I wouldn't say 10 races, maybe even more. So how do you expect? That's why this result is so surprising. Like, nothing really changed. They didn't bring
No.
any upgrades. Only Red Bull and again Mercedes brought upgrades. So Mercedes is
Well, I
really.
wouldn't be bragging about that if I were Mercedes
No,
after
but
this performance, but.
exactly. But that's the problem with upgrades, right? You always remember the ones that work, but there's so many that
That
didn't. And
don't.
by the way, Ferrari's great at bringing upgrades that don't work. So let's not kid ourselves that just because they didn't bring upgrades, or if they would have brought upgrades, suddenly their performance would have improved.
Yeah, who's
But
to
at
say
least
that it would change?
it would have made something different. And you never know.
I'm gonna give a lot of this credit to, I thought they nailed it on their strategy. Even with they changed up the tires. The tires just performed better on this track. I mean, typically, I feel like most of the year it's been medium tires. The softs really went a lot further this time than.
Well, remember, the softest here is C4. So we've had tracks where the soft was 6.6, which is the
That's true.
softest compound. So I think
That's
that
fair.
had a play on it as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought overall this was a really exciting weekend for the team. And every time we do predictions and I say Ferrari's going to be 3-4, I never
You could
really
be
believe
right.
it, but
You
it
could be right.
actually happened this go round. So kudos to the team. So I
Absolutely.
think you did an excellent job of hyping up the team and Charles, and I will give a little shout out to Lewis, and we can talk about who broke our hearts because, per usual, there are plenty. Would you like to kick that off?
Sure, because I have two, and one was all based on performance, and one is because of his attitude. So the one based on performance is Oscar Piastri. And let me just say, he finished P5 in the race. So normally you would say, like, is it really breaking hard performance? It is if you're leading the championship and if your trajectory is just plummeting. Because I thought this weekend was going to be his redemption arc, where maybe he wouldn't win. I mean, that's a lot to expect, but I thought he would be on the podium for sure. And so the
Yes,
fact.
we both did. I mean, I know this isn't usually a great track for him, but where did Piastri go? I feel like we need a missing poster.
Right. So I think for him, like he went in the opposite trajectory to Charles Leclerc, although I would have to say probably really dipped on Saturday and came up a little bit on Sunday. But he usually is doing the other way around. He usually builds his weekends. That's why, if you've noticed, some of the weekends where he ended up winning the race, he's actually not on top in the first couple of practices. He builds it up. So even though he was in the top three in FP1, he was in top three in sprint qualifying. So that was his Friday. So I thought, okay, so he's still behind Lando and obviously Max, but he'll get there. He'll get there. I mean, it's just a Friday. And even if it doesn't happen in the sprint, the race has the biggest point. And then the sprint happened. Now, he made a daring move in turn one and ran into Nico Hülkenberg, which caused that collision that took out Lando Norris and Alonso. But I just wasn't sure he needed to be that daring. I think he was so focused on getting ahead of Norris, he kind of forgot where he was, what could possibly happen, and that, there are other cars that are charging at the same time. So any daring movement will create an issue.
Yeah, and that turn is just wild. But I do appreciate the fact that Zach Brown, even though he initially came out and said he thought it was Hulkenberg's fault when he rewatched the video.
That was my words of wisdom. Do not.
Oh, I'm sorry, took it back.
It
Oh, sorry. Well, I do appreciate
was
that he did that, and we can
going
revisit in words of wisdom.
to
Sorry.
And just so you know, when the funniest thing that, not the funniest thing, actually kind of the sad thing, that Alonso was the car that was taken out, which is not the car I expected. And do you remember a few races back when he said he's the unluckiest driver in the world? When that happened, I'm like, he is the
He
unluckiest driver in the
is. I
world
mean, he
because
really is.
he had nothing to do with that, and he totally got shafted. But basically, what that meant for the sprint is not that just, Piastri took Norris out, is that he gave Max 8 points just like that because he didn't get any points. So by Max winning the sprint, which we kind of assumed would happen once he claimed the pole, that is it. Like you just gave up those 8 points. And then Piastri proceeded to qualify in sixth, which is, again, in terms of placement, may not sound that bad, but that was 3 tenths off pole. And I think more than 2 tenths off of Lando, again, in the same car, which is never a good sign. And what was his accomplishment in the race? I think it was overtaking Russell. By the way, everyone overtook Russell. That was just Russell's job this race, being overtaken. And then he kept
Agreed.
complaining about his tires. Like, that's all I remember him doing actively. And I think this does not look good for the end of the season. And I know in the past 2 seasons, people have noticed that he drops off in the second half, and they have said that this is because he's still relatively new to F1, fair, and he's never been in a title fight. But I thought his superior mental toughness would possibly keep him a little bit more in contention. I still hope that he recovers. I know he tends to do quite well in Qatar, so there is still the potential of him. I hope he recovers before Qatar, don't get me wrong, but I
He
just
has
don't.
to recover before then if he
Well,
really wants to stay in the fight.
Las Vegas is not going to be good for McLaren cars. I mean, I have my hope is going to be just FYI. My hope is for Mercedes at that on that track,
Right.
because if Max wins it, all bets are off. Brazil, Max is going to come blazing, and we'll get into Mexico,
Yeah,
in a little bit
in a
later.
little bit.
But what I'm saying is, I'm not saying he needs to now win, But I think it's now more urgent than ever for him to at least stay in the top three,
He
because
needs to get his
otherwise,
consistency and confidence back.
and I don't know how you do it, because even Zac Brown, at least on Sky Sports coverage, mentioned that his lack of pace was very concerning.
But I will tell you, I think part of this has to do with Zac Brown and the team. They celebrated the Constructors' championship without him. They didn't wait for him to get out of media. They have said they're free to fight, but to me, I think they have favored Lando all season. That has to take a toll on your mental state. I personally think it would motivate you to, have a little chip and prove you wrong. But maybe there's so much going on internally that he lost it after summer break. I don't know, but I hope that he can get it back because as much as I do like Lando, Patrick obviously adores Lando Norris. I'm rooting for Piastri this year as far as champion.
I agree. I think something will not sit right with me if Lando wins it, because I always feel part of it is because the team favored him.
Yep,
Even
they
though I
did.
don't think, in the whole grand scheme of things, if he wins, this will be the reason, but it's going to be a factor. But I think also that, and call me biased, but I don't want Max to win. And mostly
No.
because it's the pettiest reason ever. I just hate his smug face in this number one cap. So I want that number one to be taken from him. And my best thing is, I know that if Lando wins the championship, he's gonna do Hamilton, where he's still gonna race under four, his number, because it's now so part of his brand. But I know Oscar doesn't give a crap about his number, and so he will definitely take one. So having next year Max constantly see that number one car and not be his, I don't know, it will give me satisfaction. And actually, it will show me, first of all, I like Max's number. 33 is a nice number. And I just want him to kind of see how it works when he's not number one anymore, even though he is the best driver, don't get me wrong. I
He
just
definitely
really.
is. But for anyone listening, so whenever the champion is named for the year, that is the only time a driver is able to change their number.
To
So
number
Max,
one.
right. So Max raced under 33 until he won in 2021. And then he changed to number one. So he would lose the number one if, say, Oscar wins and changes his number to
I
number
mean,
one.
again, Oscar can win and not change his number. Max can
But
never have
Max
number
can't
one.
have number one. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why, and Hamilton very famously never changed to number one, even though he
No,
won
because I mean,
way more than
44 is
Max.
his brand. And I do agree with you. I think if Norris does win, he would keep four.
Yeah. That's why I want Oscar to win. I know it's a, I'm not saying it's not a petty reason, but it's a fun reason. But in any case, I just think like Max winning, as though it will be, I would
I mean,
acknowledge
that's one
like
hell of a story. I
that
mean,
is going to be the
he
best win ever.
was
But
not in contention. He said he was never winning a race again. He was over 100 points back. It's like coming from what, 17 to first in Brazil. I mean, that's
right.
like only a Max Verstappen thing to be
Well, the
done.
thing is,
It's
so I
just
read some.
annoying. He's so good.
Yeah, it's amazing, because they said that James Hunt, that's the difference. Like, again, because they were giving out fewer points back in the day, so that's the points tally he had to overcome to win. But yes, Niki Lauda had a horrible accident and was out of commission for how many races?
Yeah,
So
that doesn't
this
count.
would.
I know Hunt won by 1 point that year, but really, that should have been Lauda.
Well, you know, like
I
that's
know.
why there's a movie about it. So
And
there's
we
definitely going
reviewed
to be
that
a movie.
movie.
Yes, and there's definitely going to be a movie about it if he makes it, because that would be spectacular. But again, that's not exactly what I want to happen. But anyway, back to the people who broke my heart. So Oscar performance. This is the person who broke my heart by being much more of a, can I say the word asshole?
You can.
Okay, so he was much more of an asshole than I expected. And it's Carlos Sainz. And again, it's less to do with performance, it's his reactions to things happening to him. And just for context, so this is the person who always said the best quality he appreciates about Charles Leclerc, his former teammate, is how kind he is and how he's such a nice person. So somebody who values that quality in other people, I would think, would exhibit it themselves. Nope. So he actually had a pretty interesting trajectory because on Friday, he had the least amount of practice in FP1. Still not in P20 for whatever reason. So it was kind of amazing that he recovered so well to make it into top 10 in the sprint and finish the sprint on the podium for Williams.
I know, that was surprising.
Yes. But of course, his race then was undone by his collision with Kimi Antonelli and he had to DNF from the race. However, these are his comments. So after the sprint, so he's on top of the world, he's in third on a podium with the Williams. And when they were asking him, oh, how did you manage to get third? I think it was not necessary and very flippant how he said that it was never going to be Ferrari who was going to overtake him. Like the way he said it, again, it's not what he said, it's how he said it. It was just so jarring. And I get it. He will never be impartial about Ferrari. Ferrari will always be the sore subject with him. But I thought it was unnecessary. And he could have been classier and showed more sportsmanship, especially since, yes, he doesn't need to say much. He's on third and the Ferraris couldn't overtake him. Like, what more needed to be said? But the way he said it, I wasn't worried about Ferraris. It just sounded all wrong. So that already got my guard up. So then, after he DNF'd in the race, his radio clearly stated, oh, Antonelli turned into me. But we always talk about how this is their reaction when there was an adrenaline pumping through their veins. You can't take it so seriously. Well, after the adrenaline wore off and he went to see the steward, he doubled down and he claimed that Antonelli should have given him more space, that he should just let him overtake him and should never have turned. Like it's all his fault. He put all the blame on Antonelli. And I think he did it because he knew Antonelli is a rookie and that the stewards might think, oh, that's inexperience and wouldn't look that deeply into it.
Yeah, but
They
I'm
looked.
really appreciative of the stewards for once and what the result of this
Yeah,
was.
so I was getting to that. So he
So
was getting,
excited.
so the stewards were like very adamant in their decision document that they weren't buying it. None of the telemetry video evidence showed that he was in the right in any decision. He was giving a 10-second penalty and 2 penalty points on his license. And since he could not serve the 10-point penalty, now we know what that means. I'm sorry, 10-second penalty. He got a 5-place
Five
grid drop
place.
for the
Grid
next
drop
race
for
in Mexico.
Mexico.
And that is the one decision I applaud the FIA for.
Me
Yes,
too.
totally
Finally.
deserved.
I agree with the stewards. I think that is one of. I can't actually remember saying that again. I agree with the stewards.
But just remember, I believe it was Monza where he got his penalty overturned.
Well, he did, and that one he should have. It was Dutch or Monza. Like, I don't remember which one,
Well,
but it
then.
should have been overturned. That I agree. Got fine. But this one,
No,
kudos to the stewards.
but that's what I'm saying. Like if it wasn't, I almost feel like he dared the stewards to give him 10 seconds. Because I
Well,
think I mean, maybe not. Maybe if he was more apologetic or more conciliatory, that it kind of was both of their faults or something like that. I don't know if it would have swayed the stewards. I think he was going to get 10 seconds anyway, but he definitely got those penalty points for being flippant. That's all I'm saying.
good. Good.
What about you? Who broke your heart?
Oh, who broke my heart? Well, Piastri. But again, you did a good job covering Piastri. I was really disappointed in his performance. But again, I think that goes a little bit to how the team has handled the season, which has impacted his mental state. Is what I'm projecting onto this situation.
I just want to add that Mark Webber, who is his manager, he actually was very adamant to say that it didn't have any effect on his mental
Oh,
state. And he's
okay.
just as tough as he's always was. I don't know if that's, again, projecting that
PR.
image, but I think Mark Webber is a good person to kind of
Yeah.
motivate Oscar to
I hope
get his
so.
inner bastard directed in the right way.
I really hope he can bounce back and start to turn it back to where he was, or even better than the start of the year. And if the gap was bigger with only five races to go, my question to you was going to be, because my expectation going into this weekend was that from our predictions, Oscar or Max were going to be sprint pole, sprint winner, race pole, the whole thing, that he was definitely going to be on the podium somewhere. That if he increased his gap, would it be the point in time where McLaren would actually start to prioritize him first that they secured constructors? And there is no chance right now.
Well, I don't think, actually, I don't think McLaren, as we understand how that team operates, would do that until it would be mathematically impossible for Lando to win.
Yeah,
Which, by
it's
the way,
just too
another
close.
dagger in the heart. Leclerc is now completely out of contention. He
I
has
saw,
no
well, I
left.
thought it was going to be a long shot going into Austin, but I did see he was five. Is Russell still in contention or did he get bumped
Amazingly,
too?
yes, he's still in.
All right, well, I would expect next weekend Russell based on Mercedes' performance this weekend.
Well, weekend to weekend, we now can't predict.
This is true because didn't see Singapore coming, had higher hopes for them than Texas. But overall, Piastri broke my heart. Hülkenberg got to me a little bit. He seemed to act, the Sauber seemed to do really well on the track, and then he didn't.
He went the opposite way from Leclerc. He started high and just
And went
kept
low.
dropping.
Yes. So I. It was like the first burst since his podium of seeing, some momentum from Hülkenberg. I wish he could have carried it through. That went nowhere. And then obviously there was no chance for Lance Stroll after he got his penalty and issues after sprint. So the wooing is definitely never,
It's
we're
on hold.
never getting back together.
Oh wow. Okay. That's oof, poor Lance. That's a very strong statement.
So, but a lot happened in between, and we sort of touched on Williams already with Carlos Sainz, but let's talk about Albon and someone else who had a very unlucky race as we read the grid.
Well, Albon actually did okay in the sprint, and Williams actually got two cars in the points in the sprint, so he got P6. However, could not reproduce it in the race. He ended up in P14, and he also was one of the drivers who received black and white flag for exceeding track limits. But the one question I have for you, and maybe I missed something because again, I was watching Sky Sports, but at one point he looked to be in almost, I think it was P8 before he pitted, and for some reason dropped a lot further down. So the only thing I can think of, he was pitted at the wrong time and got back into the traffic and couldn't make his way out.
I don't know. I missed that. I didn't catch it, or F1 commentators didn't highlight it, but I don't know if they had a slow pit stop. I didn't see their pit stop times.
They didn't show the pit stop, I don't think. I think it's just he was pitted in the, I mean, again, because
And got into traffic.
he was one of the last people pitting. So I think it's just he got into the traffic and just couldn't make it through.
Well, my prediction of both Williams getting in the points did not go well and basically went as poorly as me saying that Racing Bulls and Red Bull, all four drivers, would end up in the top 10, even though I did end up bumping down Liam Lawson. But
I have to say, no matter how disappointing your predictions are, my prediction of Hadjar on the podium is not.
oh, ouch.
Yeah,
Yes, no, that.
that was not aged. Like he almost made it into my who broke my heart because he completely dismantled my prediction. So obviously, nothing to talk about in the sprint. But I think the worst thing was seeing him spinning out into the wall in Q1. Which meant he started in P20th. And this is after Lance Stroll, who qualified in Q1 again, got a 5-place grid penalty. So he ended up in P16. And you know what he won for that? A black and white flag for exceeding truck limits. He was
There
one of
were
those.
so
Oh,
many. I know we mentioned it, but there were so many track limit flags.
as we go through, I will keep track. But I'm just
Wow.
saying, like, he has nothing to show for his weekend.
No.
And then, yes, your the person you
Nemesis?
demoted,
I don't know what we call
I don't
Liam
know how to
Lawson.
call him, but Liam Lawson, I mean, say what you will, he was the better racing bull in the weekend. But I have to say, his ending positions in both the sprint and the race were just poetic. So he was P9 in the sprint, which is the first position that doesn't get any point in the sprint because the last position is P8. And
Right.
he was in Ollie Bearman Memorial spot of P11 in the race. Again, the first position in the race that doesn't get a point. So he was tantalizingly close, but not there, which I'm sure was extremely frustrating for him.
That had to have been frustrating, I am sure. We did allude already to the terrible weekend that Aston Martin and Lance Stroll and Fernando Alonso had. That was just bad.
By the way, we did
Not
not say
great.
that Lance Stroll, another black and white flag recipient.
Ding, ding,
And
ding.
then, yes, but I have to say, in the race, Aston Martin redeemed themselves because Alonso actually ended up in the points, which I thought was amazing for the race. And of course, not his fault, he was taken out in the sprint. And Lance Stroll was actually moving up the order in the race. Like, he went from P19 to P12, and I think it's
That's
99% due to strategy, not his superior driving skills, but he was overtaking a lot on the soft tires, and he went a lot longer on soft tires than even Charles Leclerc.
wow. I quit paying attention at a certain point.
I get why, because of all of his struggles, and by the way, can I just give him, if I, gave a reprimand for Carlos Sainz behavior, I'm gonna give Lance Stroll a little pick me up because I
Oh.
like the fact that he apologized to Ocon while he was still in the car. Like, he was holding out his hand, like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and was very apologetic, took responsibility. I mean, remember, this is the man who famously slammed into Daniel Ricciardo during safety car and blamed Ricciardo for, I guess, not moving as fast as he should have under
I
safety
know.
car. I don't even know. But I remember that caused a huge rift because if you don't know, Daniel Ricciardo is best friends with Scotty James, who is married to Lance Stroll's sister. And that's how Van's sister actually met Scotty James. So I thought he was like an extended part of the family. And I don't know how the relationship is now, but after that, like, Ricciardo refused to talk to him. Obviously, Ocon is the one person on the grid that Lance Stroll is friends with. So I get why. Not the person he probably wanted to run into, and
No,
also
probably
why
not,
he was
but
easy. It was easy for him to apologize to him.
that's good of him. It's the least he could do.
Exactly.
And how about your favorite, Ollie Bearman?
Ollie Bearman.
Speaking of the other half of the Haas team.
Well, his weekend was almost undone when he tried to overtake Antonelli on the track, fighting for P8, which is the points finish. So I get it why there was a fight. We'll talk about other place people who fought for things that were not important. And he did not get the position. So he overtook Antonelli off the track, did not give the position back, got a penalty. And that penalty actually pushed him out to all the way to P15, which, what does it matter? P9, P15, you don't get any points. But the good news is he did not get any penalty points, despite his report and some of our fellow podcasters jumping on the chance to say that he may get a race ban from Mexico. And I have to say, I really liked that he still was willing to make moves, knowing that more penalty
That was a
points would bring the race,
possibility.
but yeah. The better news is that he got his revenge in the race when he finished in ninth place after qualifying P8. And I think it's official. He's definitely the better Haas driver, and he's finally showing the promise that we always knew was there. And it's fantastic to see.
No, it is good to see. We were both very optimistic about him coming into this rookie season, especially, I mean, when he substituted for Carlos last year in Ferrari and finished P7 with like no notice. And the second time he filled in, he got points. He's incredibly talented. So it's good to see him turning it around.
Absolutely. And then Ocon
Not
was
turning it
just,
around.
yeah, I don't know what's happening with
On
Ocon.
the
I think
flip side of this coin,
he might be waiting for Brazil. So he is
could be.
definitely like permanently living back of the grid for all
He
the
is cellar
sessions.
dwelling.
I mean, he was taken out by Lance Stroll, but he was in the back with Lance Stroll, which is why he was taken out. And in the race, he only finished P15. Like, there's nothing to really talk about.
And
But
then,
you,
oh, go ahead.
yes. Wow. Ocon's former team gave us something to talk about. So remember how I said there were teams who were fighting for places? I don't know why they were fighting. Well, Franco Colapinto, another recipient of the black and white flag for
And
exceeding track limits. Well,
team orders.
that's what I'm getting at. So
Oh my
he
God, I
decided,
was dying over this,
all right.
watching this.
So he decided to ignore or go against team orders and over to Gasly for, wait for it, P17. That's what was worth fighting for.
Because why not?
Well, see, this is ridiculous because I actually was waiting for somebody to ignore team orders, but I thought it would be McLaren or it would be, listen, Liam Lawson Racing Bull because he's fighting for his life. Somebody with a stake, and I guess Franco Colapinto is fighting for his future. But I did not think it would be Alpine fighting for P17. So Alpine are furious, and they gave this straight statement, which I think all says a lot. We gave the instruction for the drivers to maintain position as we were managing fuel with both cars, an added variable of the number of laps remaining with the leaders in close proximity. As a team, any instruction made by the pit wall is final. And today, we are disappointed that this did not happen. So it's something we will review and deal with internally. Dun, dun, dun.
Just yeah, everyone was surprised. Even the F1 commentators were surprised when this was unfolding. And it's not a good look for Calipinto, even though all signs are saying that he's supposed to renew his agreement and his seat. I don't think this is going to do him any favors.
Well, we'll talk later in terms of spill the grid of what this means for his contract chances, but I just feel like I guess he thought the race was boring, so he needed something to make us talking about him, and he did his job.
He did. And then Sauber, we talked a little bit about Hülkenberg. That was very up and down.
Very seesaw.
Yeah.
But where was Bortoletto? And again,
At
say
the
it with
bottom.
me. No,
At
yes.
the bottom
But
of
say it with
the
me.
barrel.
Black and white flag for exceeding
Next.
three. Like, that is the only time I saw his name mentioned in the race.
Well, do the rookies race here in F2?
No.
So
But it's a testing track. And I think it's very popular on the sim. And I know that Antonelli definitely used this track to test. I don't know about
okay.
other teams.
Clearly not based on the amount of black and white flags that were given out, and they probably should focus on it.
Well, it's hilarious because Lando Norris said the black and white track limits rules are stupid. I'm like, yeah, you would say that because
Because
you kept ignoring
you're at
it.
limit.
Like, I would feel better if somebody who, like, again, I hate to point out when he is stellar, but he is stellar. The one driver who did not exceed track limits, and unfortunately, both of our drivers did exceed it at least once.
Max, he's the
Yep.
best driver out there.
He never exceeded track limits. But on the other hand, he was never pressured. So that helps
That's
when
what
you're in
happens when
first
you're
place.
out front and the whole
Yeah.
time and leading the way. He was like, it's a boring race. I'm like, of course it was for you.
God, he needed another pillow. So, speaking of words of wisdom, so this is again where we highlight interesting quotes that we heard on the radio, the media, or during the broadcast that stood out. And the first two, I think, are nuts to you, Aaron, because they mentioned your two favorite people. So one is, it was hilarious. It was the best part of FP1. because Isaac Hadjar's, and I will call him Isaac until he gets on the podium again. Isaac Hadjar's race engineer kept telling him, Bottas is on the track, Bottas is on the track. And I kept thinking, am I like, what's going on? So he finally said, Bottas now, and then Leclerc 8 seconds. And then Hadjar just had like was done. And he was like, yeah, mate, stop with Bottas, mate. There is no Bottas on the track. And Sky Sports commentators kept saying, like, oh, does he like think he it's 2026? Like, Bottas is not on the track. And then this was the best race direction ever. They actually showed us Bottas in Mercedes garage.
The
And I
garage.
just, that was just gold. It was so good. It gave me the only time I laughed during Friday was that
How
radio
did this
exchange.
engineer get that confused?
I think he's so somber and must have like just like his brain just turned Botas, Botas, Botas. But it was just funny because I think like he said that name like 10 times. Like it was just hilarious. And I kept saying, am I hearing this correctly? Botas is not yet on the grid. Wait a few
Wait a
months.
year.
Well, it's less than a year now, but yeah,
Yeah.
wait a few months and he'll
Wait a
be there.
couple months. Wait till next season.
So
That's
the other
funny.
one is so Daniel Ricciardo was commentating in the community chat during the race. So this was quoted about Max, but I thought it was endearing because it's Daniel Ricciardo. Meanwhile, Max is contacting the restaurant about his steak cooked medium rare for later tonight, which is true.
I know. It's still shocking to me that Red Bull and well, he left Red Bull on his own. Never should have, but he was fired over Yuki and Liam.
Well, to give Yuki a little credit, everyone thought higher of Yuki at that time, and yeah, no excuse for Liam.
No.
Well, then now we come to some quotes from our Ferrari personalities. So we
Oh,
start with Charles Leclerc.
hold on, say that word. So, I know we had joked during predictions about seeing Daniel Ricciardo on a horse. Did you see Lewis Hamilton?
Yes. Was
Not
really good.
quite the same effect, and I love Hamilton, but he.
But I believe he said it was like his first time on a horse. So
It was his first time on a
maybe.
horse. He's like, I guess he has really bad allergies. He's like, I've never been able to get on a horse. Won't be the last, which is good.
Okay. That is good to hear. So back to Charles Leclerc. So if you remember, cast our minds to Singapore. Max Verstappen claimed that Lando Norris disturbed his air, and that's why he wasn't on pole. And he said he will remember it. And we all thought, ooh, the revenge is coming. Well, guess who disturbed Charles Leclerc's flying lap in Q3? Max Verstappen.
Oh
And
boy.
Charles Leclerc also remembers because he said about Max, he can't blame Lando and then do the same. Touche, my friend.
Yes.
Touche. So then, okay, so this was fun. This is less fun, but it gets to our earlier discussion about Lewis Hamilton finally gelling with Ferrari and going so long before he finally gets his podium and some hopefully this
Outside of a
year.
sprint podium.
Yes, exactly. So I guess Fred Vasseur was asked whether he was satisfied with the result. Satisfied, yes and no. Yes, because we're back. No, because I think we could have done better. The situation is frustrating because we stopped development too early. As a reminder, Leclerc did not want to stop development early. He kept pushing. It was Lewis Hamilton who wanted everyone to switch to 2026 cars, which is why I think part of the blame for him not getting a podium yet could be that he was also the proponent of stopping development of the car. So once you stop development, granted, again, we're talking about Ferrari, so they could have brought upgrades that would not have worked or made the car worse. But you can't expect the car to get better if nothing is being done.
Well, I would say for Fred to say we're back is a bit bold
Watch.
because no one other than me and my just pure determination to just continue to keep Lewis at P3 in any prediction from here until the end of the year and never thought it would happen. However, no one saw this coming at all. And I think hindsight always gives you a different perspective. Was it the right or wrong thing to stop? That's also lands with Fred Vasseur. Hamilton could have said, I think we need to focus on this because whatever, maybe he knew from Mercedes with engine, whatever, for 26. Your driver who's already been there is saying continue to develop. I still think that lands on the team principal.
Oh, I
That's
agree. It is
ultimately his decision
his
to
call, but
make,
I'm
I
just
mean,
saying that I think Lewis Hamilton may not have had everything figured out when he said stop developing 2025 car.
well, there's no way he could have.
Right. And you have a driver who's been there
That's what I'm
and who
saying.
wants
Like, so for
development.
them to take so much stock in that.
Well, there are rumors that Ferrari is catering more towards Lewis than Leclerc. I hope it's not true because I hope they take both of their suggestions and weigh them accordingly. But this could be one of the times where it shows that maybe listen to the driver you've had for a long time. Anyway, speaking of Lewis Hamilton, he had his piece to say about Christian Horner coming to Ferrari.
Oh, I loved this.
I don't think it's good for Christian Horner to come to Ferrari. I'm not gonna talk more about rumors. Thoughts?
I thought it was a very well executed, very diplomatic, very Lewis Hamilton-esque answer. He answered it directly to the point, shut it down.
And I think we're clear that he's not in favor, right? Like very
We
clear.
all had a feeling that that was the case. Got confirmation very clearly of that. And next question, please.
Well, speaking of people who do not welcome Christian Horner and you're on the other team, Pierre Gasly was asked about his thoughts on 2026 cars. And by the way, the drivers had the, obviously in the simulator, had the opportunity to test the cars and none of them like it, just so we know where we stand. So Pierre said, I literally don't care about whether I like it or not. I just want to get to the front of the grid. It's probably not going to be as enjoyable as the car we're driving now, but I'm not enjoying being in P17 every weekend. This was said before the race. And how prophetic. So guess the place that Gasly ended up fighting Colapinto over. P17. And by the way, he ended in P19. So he was even optimistic about P17.
Well, yeah, I feel for him. That has got to be very difficult when you're always at the back of the grid.
It is, but the thing is, he said he enjoys driving it. I mean, I don't know
I don't know
what
what
makes
is
it
coming for
enjoyable.
next year.
Yeah, like
Nothing is sounding super encouraging for what these cars are going to be like next year.
Oh, I cannot wait for Max Radios because you know he's not holding back and he already constantly denigrates the car, so I'm waiting for him to let them have it for 2026. Well, we promised to talk about the hypocrite of the grid, and it used to be a battle with Christian Horner, but now Zak Brown has that spot all to himself. So this is what he said on Saturday after the sprint. Nico drove into Oscar like he's an amateur, which is, I would say, a double
Insult?
insult. Thank you. Like a double,
That was
I was trying to find a better
so
word.
insult. I just,
Because first,
oh.
it misrepresents what happens, saying just Nico just on his own volition decided to drive into Oscar.
Correct. And
Second, a
Nico's
Colin Kimi
such a
in the name.
veteran.
That's exactly it. After
Yeah.
Hamilton and Alonso, he's the next driver
Right.
with the most years in F1. Like that is just condescending, infuriating, and very
It
much Zak
is
Brown.
so
So now to,
unnecessary.
right. So about maybe even less than 24 hours later, this comes out of Zak Brown's mouth. Nico is not at fault. I've been too hard. You
I know
think,
he's like,
buddy? You
I
think?
rewatched the film, like the footage. I'm like, really?
Really?
It
Like you don't
took
have a
you
right. You couldn't
rewatching
play
it to come
back.
up with that?
You couldn't play back right then and there. You couldn't see. Like I didn't even realize what happened, and I actually thought it was like the stewards. Oh my God, the stewards and I are one in this race because I like the stewards. I'm like, it's a total lap one incident. But if
Right.
anyone is more culpable, it's got to be Oscar because he was the one who was making this weaving move, and he's not Charles Leclerc, so he can't make it beautiful and just weave it in and out. So, yeah, that was like what he should have said, I think, when this happened, because Sky was horrible. They went right to him right as it happened. So,
Oh, that's really too bad. They
yeah,
didn't
so
do that on F1 TV.
yeah, they choose. So, that's why the only reason I will miss Sky coverage is they choose somebody on the pit wall and go to them. And what I like is, like, for instance, it's interesting because I don't remember when, if this year, if they did it with Christian Horner, because that would have probably been memorable. But I know they've done it with James Vowles, who always gives a lot of, like, he's great. He gives you so much, saying so little. Like, it's a master class. Like, he seems to be so transparent, but he's not really giving you anything. Ayo Komatsu and Haas giving you nothing, but
No.
that's like the personality that I
Yeah.
expect. I loved Jonathan Wheatley in Suburb because I just think he's such a, like, I love his British accent. He's just such a proper gentleman. He gives you nothing. Andy Cowell in Aston Martin. Oh, not only does he gives you nothing, he'll always do a plug for Lance Stroll. It's just, I think it's contractually required of him. So that's great to see. So Zak Brown is probably like the only, like, I don't want to say honest one, but he literally says what he thinks. So my favorite,
He's filterless.
yes, there's very little filter. I mean, he is great at telling you, no, all they're number ones. We don't have a favorite, which is complete lie. But we, if nothing else, we learned he's a liar. So anyway, back to Zach.
Yeah,
So
but
the,
we knew that from Drive to Survive. That's not a
yeah, so
new
it's not,
learning.
well, I was going to say the Alex Palou lawsuit taught us even more. But anyway,
Yes.
so they literally went to him. Like, I want to say, I don't think it was a minute after that happened. Like, that's how fast they went to him. Like, if I were him, I would not engage. But if I were to engage, this is what I say. It's too soon because it
No,
was
it
insanely too soon.
was.
Like, I have to see it and review it in order to have an opinion. I don't, I'm like, I'm, well, he did say he was devastated, which I believe. And then he should have shut it down. But to immediately blame Hülkenberg was just very
Wrong.
unprofessional. Very
Very.
unprofessional. So then, so this one is from a reaction from last week's, but I thought it was good because, as we mentioned, Fernando Alonso was the person who won my heart in Singapore. And I did say his radio messages made the race. So he said, when the radio broadcast is the protagonist of the race, that also is very sad that the race was so poor in terms of entertainment. Alonso, you
Nailed
cannot be more.
it.
Yep,
So true.
that was so true. So then Lauren Mackey said this about Yuki Tsunoda, and just so we're clear, I know we keep not mentioning Yuki Tsunoda, even though this time it was pretty
His name
incredible.
came up quite a few times in the broadcast.
Right. But I don't know if all of the right reasons, because the biggest thing is in SQ1, which is the sprint qualifying, he didn't make it to the line on time to get his flying lap in, which it's a team issue. I don't think it's that they don't have enough time. They always prioritize drivers. And by the way, there was something wrong with Red Bull this race, because for regular qualifying, Max Verstappen also didn't make it to the line in time for his final lap. He didn't need
That's
it because
wild.
his first lap was enough to give him pole, but he
Yeah.
didn't make it.
That's wild.
So Laurent Mackey says, we got it wrong. We apologize to Yuki. And Aaron, I know that's correct way of doing it, the right way of doing it, but do I miss Christian Horner? Because you know that apologist would have, I don't know, spewed some horrible stuff that we would be dissecting now, and I miss it. Like, we need a divisive figure on the grid. Laurent
Other
is
than
too
Zach
nice.
Brown.
Yeah, like we need a couple. Like, I need them going at it. Like, I don't know. So
Well, I
then,
don't know. Maybe you throw Ralf Schumacher or Flavio Briatore in a little bit more.
oh, we will throw off Schumacher. So of course, Ralf Schumacher, again, for everyone who needs reminder, is Michael Schumacher's brother and Mick Schumacher's uncle. And he said, Franco Colapinto, Tsunoda, and Lawson are much worse than Mick Schumacher. Aaron, thoughts?
I don't really have words for that one.
Well, my point is, okay, I would
Yikes.
say Lawson and Colapinto are so far removed from when Mick Schumacher raced that I don't think that's
Yeah.
a fair comparison.
No.
Tsunoda, actually,
Still.
I would say he's come down from where we thought he would be
His
this year.
performance has dropped,
Right. But I'm
but
sorry, do you
it
think Mick
dropped since
Schumacher,
he went into Red Bull.
Red
He was
Bull.
doing better at racing bulls.
Correct. And you think if you stick Mick Schumacher in a Red Bull,
No.
he
No
suddenly is
chance.
gonna do better? My point is, I agree. Mick Schumacher really got unlucky because the first year that he was in the Haas car, it was, remember it from Günther
Yeah.
Steiner's book, that was the year they did not even develop the car at
Right.
all. Like it
Right.
was worse than Ferrari this year. They just stopped developing. So it was a horrible car. And he had Mazepin as a teammate, which probably made him look better. But the next year, yeah, he was not good. He was not good at all. But he wasn't so terrible that he wouldn't necessarily justify being in.
No, I
But
agree. I think Mick Schumacher and Nyck de Vries had two of the most unfortunate, and I'll even put Liam Lawson in this mix and Franco Colapinto. I feel like there's so many things stacked against them going into their debut season in F1. It's like they're not going to be set up to succeed.
so Mika Schumacher had 2 years in
I know.
F1. So I don't know. I think, like, again, unfortunately, that's the nature of F1.
It is.
It's not a true meritocracy because somebody will always get a seat that may not be as deserving, but has the money, and that team needs the money. And two, I mean, sometimes it's luck of a draw. Do you think, and again, Ralf Schumacher, just so everyone's aware, was an F1 driver. And yes, he rode Michael's coattails, but he was a much better driver
Hey.
than.
Coattails, not cocktails.
Oh, I meant coattails. Yeah, he rode Michael's coattails, but he still was a much better driver than Jos Verstappen. Like, there were races where he actually won from Michael, and Michael didn't give it to him. So he is not a complete zero. But he obviously has a bias. I'm just saying.
Just a touch. But speaking of biases, let's talk about our predictions for the Mexico Grand Prix, which is next weekend. Ina, it is your turn to name pole position.
God.
Is your
The
hopium
way.
train going to keep on going?
Yeah, well, it's Mexico. So I don't think Max is suddenly going to be horrible in this race.
No. He's
So
not.
I'm giving him pole position.
All right. I feel like this is one where, like, George Russell could take pole or somebody kind of out of the blue. But in reality, I'll give it to Lando.
Hey, like, I think it's mu as much of a chance as that.
So
Okay.
P3, who do you have?
You
I
have
know we're
to.
not going to compete on P3.
No, we're not. And I'm just thinking. Sorry, let me just think.
Take your time.
What I want happen, what I think happen. Well,
That's my constant battle when doing
right.
these.
I'm so sorry. I still like I just remember last year, Sainz won in a very different Ferrari. Leclerc was third, but the entire weekend he looked very out of sorts. So as much as I'd love to predict him in P3, I'm gonna go for George Russell.
Okay, well, we all know where I'm going with P3, and
Yes.
that is going to be Lewis Hamilton because he is going to permanently hold
The
a
P3
spot
spot.
on a podium.
Before you go for P2, may I just ask you one
Sure,
favor?
of course.
Whatever you do, can you just not put Max in P1? Because I've noticed that every time you put him in P1, he wins.
Oh, yeah,
And
gladly.
we
I can
need that to stop. So whatever you
definitely.
think about your P2, just if Max was going to be on your podium, just don't make him P1.
I will
Go
not
on.
make him P1. Don't worry. I'll put him P2.
Okay. I mean, I don't want him to be P2, but
I
might
don't
as well.
either, but he
Okay.
usually doesn't land in P3, as you've said before. That's a very
Yeah,
rare occurrence for
rare
him.
occurrence, right? Which is, I'm glad you put him P2 because he was going to be my P2. But anyway, but now I have to think outside the box. So I'm gonna put him P2.
Okay.
Only because it's hopium. No, it's not Ferrari
Oh.
hopium. Because I think, again, I'm still hoping for Oscar revenge arc.
I am praying for an Oscar revenge arc. I need Oscar to get his shit together.
Right. And if I know you may not remember, but I remember last year's qualifying, he actually did not get out of Q1.
Who,
So he
Oscar?
had, he was
Oh
P17.
no, I don't remember
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, that
Oh
was shocking.
no.
This is when like we realized there was a slide going on with Oscar.
Oh.
So he has a lot to atone for. I think he'll be on a tear. So my P2 is going to be Oscar Piastri.
Okay. Well,
Hold on. P1. I have to say who my P1 is.
yeah.
Since everyone I predict P1 does not win, Max Verstappen.
I'm glad you took him for P1 because I did not
Aaron.
realize that
You have a thing.
I have a thing for predicting him getting I that needs to stop immediately. So you have Russell, Oscar, Max.
I know. I mean, I think I hopefully none of them make it, but who knows?
Okay. I have Hamilton, Max. I really want to say Oscar, but I think it's going to be Lando, but I will go with Oscar.
I love it. You put Lando on pole, and he's not even in top three. Great.
I'm hoping he crashes somewhere. Just
Fair. Let's do that.
maybe, or maybe Red Bull actually gets to remove the tape
If he doesn't know where to park.
and he
Okay.
doesn't know and gets a little penalty on time and, that sort of thing. So
Whatever. As long as my P1 doesn't come true, we're all good.
we're all good. We need
Yeah.
Max to push those points back down
Yes.
a little bit.
Agree.
So you don't have a Ferrari on the podium. Where
I
are you
don't.
putting our boys?
Well, my hopium is slightly revised. They're sliding it. So I actually think, since I didn't put Lando on my podium, he's going to go into P5. So P4, Leclerc. P6, Hamilton.
Okay. So I will actually put Lando P4 and Leclerc P5.
Totally. I see that happening more likely than what I predicted, for sure.
So that's where we'll go with that. And then I'm a little disappointed in Carlos Sainz and his
Attitude.
yes, his attitude. So I'm going to go with Albon P6. He's going to be up there. He needs a redemption.
He does.
He really needs a good drive. He has not had one, and I'm hoping he has one this go round.
That's a great rest of the a best of the rest prediction or wild predictions. For me, I was going to say Antonelli beats Russell, but I just put Russell in P3, so that's ain't happening. And
That is
now
not going to happen.
that's another hopium down the drain.
Well, maybe Vegas. Maybe you just hold that one for Vegas.
Right. So I'm tired of saying Behrman in top 10, but I expect Behrman to be in top 10. You know what? I'm going to put Isaac Hadjar. He disappointed me so much.
I know.
He's gonna be P7.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hadjar P7. He
Okay.
listen, he needs to also like it's all about redemption at this point, and he definitely needs it.
He does. That's totally fair. Now let's build the grid because there is lots to talk about. We have confirmed that George Russell and Kimi Antonelli have officially signed contracts with Mercedes for 2026. This was shocking to me. George's contract is reportedly multi-year, not one plus, not one and one. I am sure Toto has plenty of outs. But allegedly, he is 30 million a year, which puts him as the third highest paid driver.
Listen, the only way this could work is he has a lot of, Toto has a lot of outs. And so for each out, his price tag increases. Because if
That makes
he has to
sense.
go out, at least he gets 1 year where he gets a decent payout. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
It's got to be such a weird position for Toto because he's his manager and he's the team principal, the team he's driving for.
He's also an owner, so that money is
Right.
coming
Like,
directly from his
talk
pocket.
about conflict of interest.
Isn't that
But
F1 in a nutshell?
pretty much at some point or another. And I know we mentioned it, and based on the dismissal of team orders, it will be curious if Alpine continues with the announcement of a new contract between Franco Colapinto. Allegedly, that was going to be announced somewhere between the Mexican and Brazilian Grand Prix. Do you think that is going to change?
Well, I'm now wondering if they will announce it between Mexican and Brazilian Grand Prix. It doesn't mean that Colapinto will not get a contract. And I mean, this might sound cynical, but I think it's all about the money because he brings in the sponsors and they obviously need them.
That's true.
So.
Yeah. Well, we will continue to see Austin on the calendar, on the schedule, because it has been extended to 2034. F1 TV will no longer be available in the US starting December 2025 due to the exclusive deal with Apple. I have mixed feelings on this one.
It is because then we only get one coverage and then we won't get these dueling personalities. And then I don't know what Apple will show. Will they have their own crew? Will they just repurpose either F1 or Sky Sports? But I think US is going to be a little bit of a loser in this one.
Yeah, I did see though that they are committed to Drive to Survive.
And they're smart to do that. That's a huge
Big market.
benefit,
Yeah, for
right?
sure. You want to talk about McLaren?
Sure, the McLaren's lawsuit against Alex Palou is a gift that keeps on giving because we found out a couple of things. One is that Ryo Hirakawa, who is the reserve driver for McLaren, backed by Toyota, reportedly paid $3.5 million for an FP1 session with McLaren. So this actually revealed that FP1 sessions are for sale
That's
and that
crazy.
people pay. It's crazy that F1 takes every opportunity it can to make money. That is not that crazy.
No, that's not crazy. But that's so tough to give up those sessions.
Well, I have to say, in Mexico, we're going to see a lot of driver. Okay, a lot is a strong word, but I know there's a Ferrari.
Okay.
One of the, I think Leclerc already gave it two times
Leclerc
because,
already did. It's
yeah,
got to
so it
be
must
at
be
Hamilton's
Hamilton.
turn.
Oh
Yeah.
my God, this is going to be, I pity the people who came to see FP1 because they're losing Lewis Hamilton and they're losing Max Verstappen because he's giving up his seat to Lindblad. Do you think he didn't pay for
Oh, yeah.
it? Yeah. Well, another interesting thing that came out of the lawsuit, because we were wondering, like, so McLaren is suing Alex Palou, and if Alex Palou loses, he has to pay McLaren. And McLaren is looking to recover 20.7 million, which seems a little much.
Ouch.
So the good news is for Alex Palou is that the team that he's races for in IndyCar, Chip Ganassi Racing, will cover his legal costs. However, nothing comes for free. So Palou actually has to take a lower salary in order to justify them paying for it.
Ouch. Well, and then let's talk about the talk that there has been a lot of talk about repercussions that Lando will suffer for the rest of 2025 because of the contact he had with Oscar Piastri in Singapore. And just to be clear, the repercussions are that Oscar Piastri will have preference to choose in which order they do flying laps in qualifying.
And that's for the remainder of the season. So this was just for contact. What are they going to do for Oscar taking Lando out in Austin?
That was deemed a driving incident.
Well, the contact with Lando was not investigated by FIA either.
I would say, given all of the favoritism that McLaren has shown Lando this entire season, I think it's the least I could do for Oscar.
Well, I think we talked about after Singapore that actually is kind of silly for the team to interfere in this. So I think hopefully this will put like, let's just like
Equal
stop.
footing, just
Yeah,
stop the
just
papaya
stop it.
rules and just go.
Right. But I just, before the sprint, the talk of repercussions was constant. It was especially Sky Sports just constantly ran with it because at the time we didn't know what the repercussions were. So that's all they talked about. What could this be? How would this affect racing? And
Well,
it was just too much noise. We
it
just need to
gives them
get to
something to
racing.
talk about, for better
Exactly.
or worse. It gives them something to fill airtime with. But McLaren set themselves up and put themselves in this position where they made it seem like it was so unfair and favored toward Lando. So, you know.
No, they completely bungled the entire thing. Like
The
the
worst thing was the slow pit stop switch positions. They
Well,
set, really set themselves up since that.
if you notice Lando pitted second this time around, thankfully nowhere near Oscar, so we didn't have to do the team orders, and he
Yeah.
had a slow pit stop. What's interesting is that Andrea Stella, I think it was even before Singapore, he actually admitted that they had an issue with the wheel gun. And by the way, Aaron, who said they had issue with the wheel gun?
Look at you, Ina.
And also what I said in terms of budget cap, they said they wouldn't be able to fix it this year. So we know now that anyone who has a second stop
Is going to have an issue.
is going to have an issue.
Yeah, well, those drivers are smart enough to figure that out. So let's see what happens in the next five races. And then, unfortunately for Alex Dunn, Red Bull confirmed they have no interest in signing him, who recently cut ties with McLaren, as we mentioned last episode.
Yeah, I don't know. This is now so interesting because why would he cut ties with McLaren if he didn't have a guaranteed seat to go to?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. So do you want me to do that? Okay. We are now in the home stretch, and the Drivers' Championship is getting a lot closer than anyone could have predicted just one race ago. This weekend brought out a lot of excitement due to the sprint chaos. The McLarens finally taking each other out, and the resurgence of Ferrari just when everyone, me, counted them out. The
Not me.
race, definitely not Aaron. The race itself was not very exciting, but the race direction improved tremendously. There were no sightings of the girlfriends or anyone else in the garages during the main broadcast. There were cutaways to the last lap battles or potential battles as the podium finishers were taking the checkered flag. Sky Sports' British bias was in full force as they kept complaining that we were denied a Lando Max battle for the win because of Leclerc, or as Brundle calls him, Charlie Boy. So he was saying the Charlie Boy kept getting in the middle. I hope he continues to get in the middle and produce spectacular drives because it makes racing more exciting and less predictable and sets up for maybe the shootout for the title in Abu Dhabi.
And thank goodness for everyone on the grid, there is no longer Michael Massey. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an update.
Would also love to hear from you, whether it's your thoughts on today's episode, your suggestions for F1 books, shows, or movies to explore, or a shout out to your Austin hot takes. Connect with us on Instagram, YouTube, or X, or drop us an email at readingthegrid@gmail.com. We want your ideas to fuel this podcast, so don't be shy.
Thanks for joining us on Reading the Grid. Keep your engines running and your pages turning. Until next time. I actually thought the broadcast was going to be Who Won Your Heart. I did not see it coming with Ferrari.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the truth, if it wasn't for Ferrari, like, I don't know who it would be. Like, nobody
That's
really,
true. Oh, here,
like,
let me
there was.
pause this.